21st Century Radio is sponsored by Hieronymus & Company. Now more of 21st Century Radio with your host, Dr. Zoe Hieronymus.
Everybody needs a helping hand. Take a look at your fellow man and tell me, what can I do today? Cause everybody needs a helping out. If that ain't what it's all about, tell me what, what can I do? What can I do today?
Welcome to 21st Century Radio. I'm Dr. Zohara Hieronymus. Laura Kortner is our executive producer and Vern Anderson, our engineer. Our guest both hours of our program today is Rosemary Clark, a world-class astrologer and founder of Astrologic, an astrology and counseling service in Charlottesville, Virginia. Rosemary is a practicing astrologer of several decades. In addition to her work in teaching and consulting, her special study of ancient Egypt's sacred science has led to accomplishments in the distinctive field of archaeoastronomy. Her work to date has been published in two volumes, The Sacred Tradition in Ancient Egypt, The Esoteric Wisdom Revealed and the Sacred Magic of Ancient Egypt, The Spiritual Practice Restored. Both are published by Llewellyn Worldwide and have been translated into Russian, Bulgarian, and Czechoslovakian. Also, Rosemary has expert updates on cosmic events monthly, which can be found on her soothsaying page at her website, www.templeharakhte.org. Rosemary Clark and I have been producing these astrological specials since 2017, focusing on current events, political issues, and global trends. Tonight, we'll place our attention, as we do a portion of each program we collaborate for, on Donald Trump's astrological chart, his progress chart, and where, as they say, in astrocartography, when we look at a person's chart relative to place and time, he has issues such as his Mars line, which runs through Kiev, Ukraine, and Istanbul, Turkey, as Rosemary will explain. We'll also look at what was happening on the day of the largest climate change protest in world history, when 4 million people on September 20th, 2019, took to the streets worldwide. We'll look at ongoing Earth instability and ongoing devastation from extreme storms. And we'll also take a look at Twitter, since its inception, at what it means if we have time. We'll take a look at the Democratic candidates, examine the impeachment process, and a few other issues as well. If that's not enough, welcome to 21st Century Radio, Rosemary.
Thank you, Dr. Zoe. It's wonderful to be here this evening and to cover all of these incredibly complex issues, but we nevertheless are going to do our best to get more insights into what's to come.
Well, we were last together in March of 2019, and you were predicting both the entanglements relative to Russia and the Ukraine, as well as leading up to war, and Trump's impeachment, which seemed inevitable as you were speaking, based on astrological cues. So for most of the audience who are not astrologers, why don't we start with just a little introduction about the kinds of things an astrologer looks at and looks for and tries to kind of synthesize to make the kinds of conclusions you do?
Well, for an accurate picture of a person's life and events, we want to have the exact time of birth, if possible. We can only give a general view if we just have the day. So with Donald Trump, fortunately, and most of his family, and most of the characters that are involved in our analysis this evening, we do have time of birth. And the most essential elements are not just the sun sign, which really represents the goals of the person, but the moon sign, their inner life, their empathy with others, and their place in family and community. And then there's the rising sign, which tells us what talents and problems they may have brought into this life that are going to be worked out on a day-to-day basis. This is the personality side that everybody sees astrologically, but it's not the real person. The real person is the combination of all of these elements, as well as the positions of the planets in the place they were born. And I also want to emphasize that the astrological chart is a map of the heavens, but it's also a map of one's life. And we have choice to go in many directions on this map. That is what we call free will. But there are other factors that are going to come into play. The environment in which one grows, and also the influence, particularly of the planet, of the parents and the family that are going to steer a person into a certain path on that map of life.
Got it. Look, we're having a little trouble with your line, so Laura's going to call you back. And in the meantime, I'll let the audience know a little bit about what we'll be covering. You know, it's interesting. Rosemary has provided me with a great deal of charts, and I used to do baby charts. So I'm a little familiar with astrology, and I use it in my own life, as does Dr. Bob. And one of the things she's going to present is a beautiful tribute to Elijah Cummings. And when you look at his chart, you see how devoted he was to not only just public service, but the entire issue of things being in balance or of Libra. We have the charts of all of the front-running candidates in the Democratic Party, and we'll take a look at those, as well as Rudolph Giuliani and a bunch of others. She says rogue of characters. Rosemary, are you back?
Yes, I am.
All right. Hopefully this will be better. All right. I know that one of the things you wanted to share with us was a beautiful astrologically based tribute to Elijah Cummings before we got going. And for our Maryland and Baltimore listeners, this is especially important to us.
I think it's not only important to those in your area, but also to all of us in the United States who have become so much aware of the problems that have arisen with this administration and those in Congress who are very assiduously working to remedy those problems. One of them was the Honorable Elijah Cummings. And what struck me most on October 25th during his memorial service was Hillary Clinton's speech about our Elijah. And it reminded me that he was not only ours in spirit working for us in Congress, but we belonged to him. And he always kept that in his work, the interests of the people that he served, not just in the Baltimore area, but as well in the United States. And I think that that very much reflects what his goal, the Capricorn Sun, was in his life, the steadfastness, his placing duty first, the principles that he stood by, and always in his work cutting to the chase, always wanting to get to the point. I saw that so many times, all of us have, when he was televised at the House Committee on Oversight. He also had a Gemini moon showing some bipartisanship there, empathy with both sides of the issues that he was working for. And in his astrological picture, he had two very important signatures. We call them exaltations. They are places where the planets are in their most optimum place and working for the individual, and he certainly used them well. He had Jupiter exalted in Pisces, which showed that he was essentially a scholar, and he worked toward educating himself and those around him. That he placed so of such importance to others and to his family. And most importantly, he had the planet Saturn exalted in Libra, and we know that that represents the search for justice for all, and the ability to determine right and wrong without any personal interest attached to it. So all of those factors working in his chart gives us this beautiful picture of someone who was devoted to justice, empathy with both sides in a question, and a duty to the principles of not only himself, but those around him.
And also an orator, you know, for the public. His Mercury in Capricorn in the 12th house, his job was to speak for the people who didn't have a voice of their own. Well, look, we're going to run out of time if we take too much time on any one person or situation. But thank you for that, because he deserves an understanding of how deep his soul was and how profound a destiny he had that he fulfilled. And not all of us fulfill our destinies, much as we might try. Let's move ahead to Donald Trump's chart, because every time you join us, we talk about his natal chart, and then we talk about the progress chart relative to the United States. So let's go there.
Well, what I'd like to emphasize at this talk is the role of Mars in Trump's chart. Now, we've covered in past discussions the fact that he was born at a full moon, and this makes a person volatile. It was a very exact full moon in Gemini and Sagittarius. And so that's what we call mutable signs, which is shifting from one side to another when it comes to dealing with problems and relationships. But in addition to that, he had Leo rising, the very last degree, which is the degree they used to call the place of kings and princes. And, of course, that's how one sees oneself. It is, of course, a sign that does emphasize the ego. And we're not saying that anybody with Leo rising has that signature, but they're going to put themselves first in a situation, particularly with family and friends. And what is most important that we often overlook with Donald Trump's chart is the fact that he had the planet Mars rising exactly at birth. At the time he came into this world, Mars was right on the horizon. And this says an awfully lot about his personality and about the force that he uses to present himself to others and, when troubled, what he is going to use to deal with his enemies and the issues around him. It explains a lot about aggression. This is the first thing that's going to arise. The desire even to confront others. And then we know there's the bullying and the sometimes antisocial behavior that he exhibits. But it's basically Mars rising is someone who wants to go it alone. They don't usually trust others to take care of things for them. And so in every presidential chart, we want to look at where his Mars falls, not only at birth, but in other places on Earth, because that's where the influence of the leader of the United States is going to be felt. We find in astrocartography, we look at where the planets fall around the globe in a person's birth. This kind of tells us where there might be trouble spots, where there might be beneficial connections and relationships developing. In every presidential chart, we always find that the Mars line is where there's going to be either conflict and, in often cases, war. With Jimmy Carter, his Mars line went through Tehran, Iran. With Bush, it went through Kabul and Pakistan. With Obama, it went through Iraq, Saudi Arabia, and North Korea. And with Trump, his Mars line goes right through Kiev, Ukraine, and Istanbul, Turkey. This is where the president and the country is going to meet their nemesis for the duration of that presidential period. And so we always want to look at that, and here the picture tells us where the trouble is going to be, where this person, this president, has to meet and compromise the trouble that he is going to.
Now, it's interesting because in looking at the chart you sent me of astrocartography of Trump, his natal chart, it also, his Mars line runs through New York, which I think is fascinating.
Well, that's because he has Mars rising there. So he is going to present himself as the martial person in these places where Mars is prominent, and where it's at the midheaven, where it shines the brightest, is through Kiev and Turkey.
So when you then look at this astrocartography, as you just went through with us for each president recently, and where their Mars fell and where the wars they were involved in absolutely occurred, Talk to us a bit about the USA chart relative to Donald Trump in general, and then the progress chart. We do have to take a break. So when we come back, we'll pick up there of Donald Trump's chart, the progress chart relative to the United States chart of today. If you're just joining us, our guest is Rosemary Clark. She's a world-class astrologer. We'll get to a lot more. You can find more at her website, Temple... Where is my list on that one? TempleHaracte.org. And I will give you how to spell that when we come back.
I'm John Gartner, founder of Duty to Warn, a grassroots organization of mental health professionals who believe that Donald Trump is mentally unfit and should be removed under the 25th Amendment. You're listening to 21st Century Radio with Zoe Hieronymus.
Welcome back to 21st Century Radio. Rosemary Clark is with us, a world-class astrologer, and you can find her at her website, www.TempleHaracte.org. And if you forget that, you can always get links to our guests at www.21st21stcenturyradio.com. So, Rosemary, before the break, I mentioned that we would talk about, you mentioned Donald Trump's natal chart relative to Mars. But the other thing, of course, is to look at the president's chart in relationship to the United States chart, which is a bigger picture. So share that with our audience, if you would.
Well, the U.S. chart that has been used for the last two centuries and is based on some of Thomas Jefferson's notes is got Sagittarius on the rise, and we are a Cancer sun with the sun conjunct star Sirius, which speaks of a great destiny for our country. In addition to that, we have Mars, again, in the seventh house, which represents both our enemies and our allies, those that we have to confront. Mars in Gemini is very interesting in this case because it's at the 21st degree of Gemini, and Donald Trump has his son at the 21st degree of Gemini. So here we have the idea that ally or enemy is falling in the U.S. horoscope in a very volatile place where Mars is.
And it's
right
so interesting,
now,
Rosemary,
the
because
planet Jupiter is transiting in Sagittarius, the opposite place, and so it's putting a great deal of pressure in the U.S. chart as well as on Donald Trump to either go forward or to stand still.
I was going to add, you had sent me this chart of Twitter, which just fascinates me. Evan, I joke, I came out of the cave last week and started seeing it for the first time ever. I'm like probably the only person in America who didn't know Facebook, didn't know Twitter, and they're all like new revelations to me. But Mars is in Gemini in Twitter, and the president has run his entire presidency through Twitter. And I just think that's so interesting.
Well, not only because Gemini represents the ability to communicate over great distances, but it is also why he has such an affinity with that method of communication and why it may be the only way he can truly express himself, what feelings he has, and what thoughts he has at the moment.
And he also, as you've showed me, he has Uranus in Gemini, which is why he's so quick on the draw and so fast to open his mouth and to Twitter. That's why I like Alexandria Cortez, though, because she's like, oh my God, she's the same. Maybe we'll get to that later. Fast on the draw.
That's right. That's how these Gemini signatures often work. It's analytical, but it's also needing to express at a moment's notice whatever is on their mind, and the mind is constantly going here. That can be for good as well as for ill.
Right.
But in the U.S. chart, we have a lot of pressure being exerted now with the planet Jupiter, which has a lot of influence as far as the needs of the masses are concerned. And it's putting pressure on who represents the leadership, which is Trump, and on Trump himself as a person, because it's working in his chart exactly on both the sun and moon, because he was a full moon birth.
And how does that all stack up relative to the impeachment process and the day that the impeachment rules anyway were qualified for a yes?
Well, we had in Donald Trump's chart on October 31st, Mars, his nemesis, coming along to Jupiter. So we have these two factors working in both the U.S. chart and in Donald Trump's chart, Mars and Jupiter, and that can be war. It is certainly confrontation, and it certainly is an acceleration of the problems as well as the good that could come from this sort of influence. In his chart, it's working, I find, of interest. In his house of finance and assets, and it's no surprise then that he's looking to let go of his lease at the Trump Hotel in Washington, D.C., and that he's changed his residence from New York to Florida all in 1 week. And that is the action of Mars over his Jupiter. It's affecting his assets directly, but it's also putting a lot of pressure on his fears, which in the U.S. chart is showing us to be a confrontation with the enemy. And that's what he's turned out to be as far as the U.S. chart is concerned, unfortunately for us.
And when you look forward, I mean, maybe we should take a moment to take a look at Nancy Pelosi, because it has a great deal to do what's happening in terms of moving forward and why it is that this woman is presiding over this process at this time in history.
Well, I think that Nancy Pelosi, from her chart, which has Sagittarius rising.
Fascinating.
And she is an Aries sun, which certainly gives her the stamina to be taking care of the business that she is right now. There are two planetary influences that are very powerful and are working toward 2020. It is a Saturn-Pluto conjunction in the sign of Capricorn that is really going to change the trajectory of the U.S. economically, socially, and environmentally. And that is for next year, but right now it's working in Nancy Pelosi's chart for April of next year. And I think that something major is going to be happening with her responsibilities and her duties that are going to represent gaining a great deal of power.
Well, and she also has, so what's so interesting about when you start seeing how all of these different players interact astrologically, her Mars in Libra also makes her fight for justice, and it's in the 10th house, which is her career. So she's very much going to do her best to make sure that however it comes out in the wash, it comes out in honesty. It's fascinating. And then as an Aries, that's another fierce sort of independent, executor who is going up against somebody who likes to fight.
Yes, there's a lot of fearlessness in her astrological chart. I also want to point out that in a few days, on November 11th, there is a Pluto aspect that she is going to be experiencing. And I think she's going to be under attack, and probably the reason why is because some of those congressional hearings are going to go public at that time. And there's another very strong indicator of that happening, because on November 11th, there is a great and rare configuration taking place at 10:22 a.m., and I wouldn't be surprised if there was going to be a major revelation at that time going on during a congressional hearing.
That's 11/11/2019. It's exact at 10:22 a.m.
That's right, and that event is that Mercury is going to visibly transit the face of the sun. A lot of astronomers are going to be looking at that. There's only 13 of those, 12 or 13 of them in a century. So this is very important. In ancient astrology, it was known as the Kazimi, where this little planet, Mercury, goes into the heart of the sun. Now, Mercury represents communication and knowledge, and it's going to meld with the power of governance, which is the sun, on that day. We can expect a rupture in the status quo. It's going to be very volatile. There's going to be some revolutionary knowledge. Truths will emerge. It's going to be a red letter day, and it's affecting Ms. Pelosi's chart directly with Pluto as well. So it's going to change the face of her role in Congress, and it's going to lead to bigger things on her responsibilities.
Wow, it's so fascinating. So then, just so if you're listening now, just tuning in, so remember to write down 11/11/2019, and we'll see what happens. You know, it's interesting because with astrology, I think it's important for an audience to know that even when things are exact, the influences can happen a few days before and a few days afterwards. And maybe, Rosemary, you can speak for a second about that, because when people read this, you know, the papers, and they read their sun sign astrology, and they go, well, that sounded like yesterday. Oh, well, that sounds like, you know, 2 days ago. Explain how this happens when we're talking about the configurations that we look at in the sky and then how they affect us here on Earth.
Well, the inner planets, that is Venus and Mercury and Mars, tend to affect us in a very immediate way. It is the outer planets, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto, that have very long-lasting effects and sort of creep up on us when their influence is going to be felt. Also, I think that that's one role that astrology very importantly plays. We want to look at what's ahead to be prepared for some of these influences that are coming around, whether it be in a week, a month, or a year. Awareness, I find, makes so much of a difference, and a change in our attitude when we know a certain important aspect is coming up, we sort of mold our decisions and our actions in a way that is going to prepare us for a good case scenario.
Exactly, and then take advantage of it, which is why, you know, there are many national leaders that do have astrologers, and I'm always so shocked that more don't when they choose their day of nomination or the day that they want to, you know, say that they're going to run as a candidate. I mean, the birth of these things are so important, and it's as if they just go, well, this looks like a good week, let's do it this week, you know, based on holidays or the season or their own calendar, rather than really using astrology to their advantage, as military people do worldwide, even if they don't talk about it.
I think that's why Ronald Reagan was the only known president who used astrology and benefited from it. And with regard to that, I did send on the horoscope of Vladimir Zelensky, the new president of Ukraine, and it was so easy to find his astrological chart. That's because in Europe, the astrological picture of people who are involved in politics, in celebrity, in the arts, they have no problem going to an astrologer and getting their updates and releasing to the public their horoscopes, because they know, after so many centuries of it being around, how important it is for people to judge their capacity to do these things. But here in the United States, there's such a silence on that. Oh, and I also, you know, in India and China as well, astrological work is looked at respectfully, and people don't have a problem getting their horoscopes erected and looking ahead for what they want to plan for in their lives.
Exactly, exactly. All right, so let's skip down to maybe, do you want to do anything on Melania Trump's chart?
Well, there was just one thing that I found very interesting with Melania Trump, and that was that she has a, she's got a Taurus sun. We don't have a time of birth for her, but what's happening is that the planet Uranus has just entered Taurus, and there's going to be an exact conjunction to her sun in April of 2020. Now, I've been looking at other things that have been sort of coalescing in the spring of next year, 2020, and the sun in a woman's horoscope very often represents her husband and what's going on with that, as well as the goals that she has in life and how that may change. Well, Uranus is a real disruptor, and there's going to be a major change that Melania Trump is going to deal with in the spring of 2020, and it certainly is connected to her spouse.
Well, and she also has Saturn in Taurus and Mercury in Taurus and Venus in Taurus. And then there's this Mars again in Gemini. So we have all this Mars energy in Gemini between herself, her husband. I remember their children. Now we see with Nancy Pelosi, with Alexandria. I mean, it's fascinating how often this is showing up within this constellation of humans.
Yes. The Gemini factor plays very strongly in the Trump family.
All right. So what we'll do is we'll take a little break and then we'll come back and we'll start running through, as you call them, Rogues Gallery, Rudolph Giuliani, Rick Perry, William Barr, Michael Cohen, a few other people of interest. We'll take a look at the Ukraine. And then in a later part of our program, we'll take a look at the front runner presidential candidates and what astrology tells us about them.
God,
if you're just joining us, our guest is Rosemary Clark. She is a world-class astrologer. She runs Astrologic in Virginia, and you can learn more at her website at www.templeharakhte, that's temple, T-E-M-P-L-E, and harakhte, harakhte.org, or go to www.21st21stcenturyradio.com.
Hi, my name is Nadia Nazir. I am a 17-year-old artist and climate activist. I'm one of the founders of Zero Hour. And you're listening to 21st Century Radio with Dr. Zohara Hieronymus. You can check out more work from the youth climate justice movement and from Zero Hour at thisiszerohour.org. And you can check us out on social media at thisiszerohour. Thanks.
Yeah, do check out Nadia Nazir, who we had on thisiszerohour.org, and we're working on bringing on other youth activists to cover the work that they're doing and how they see change and what we can do. If you're just joining us, Rosemary Clark, a world-class astrologer, joins us. Her business is called Astrologic in Charlottesville, Virginia, and you can follow her and her ongoing work that's available to the public at www.templeharakhte, that's T-E-M-P-L-E, Harakhte, H-A-R-A-K-H-T-E.org. If that's too much to write down, remember 21st21stcenturyradio.com. All right, so we are looking at a variety of different charts, and as you call them, the Rogues Gallery of Rudolph Giuliani, Rick Perry, William Barr, etc. We'll start off with Rudolph Giuliani because, interestingly enough, he and Trump both have Sun and Uranus in Gemini, which makes them very similar.
Yes, and why they're so compatible. And also, besides the Sun and Uranus in Gemini, which gives them that volatile nature and so excitable and quick to draw, we also, with Mr. Giuliani, he has a Moon-Jupiter conjunction in Leo. So there's another point of compatibility that he shares with Mr. Trump. It's very theatrical, and of course he overcompensates with an inflated ego in his relationships. I have no doubt, looking at Giuliani's timed chart, that he really is fond of Trump, that maybe Trump represents what he could have been, or that they're just blood brothers of some sort. But he's got quite the horoscope, and what bothers me is that Neptune is rising in Rudolf Giuliani's birth chart. We had Mars rising with Trump, giving him that aggressive, bullying personality. With Giuliani, Neptune gives him the ability, like a chameleon, to change sides, to change his personality, depending on the circumstances. And while many people have Neptune rising that gives them an intuitive and empathetic nature, it can also emphasize deception and the ability to present oneself, depending on the circumstances, for whatever is required at the moment.
And it's so interesting that Donald Trump has Mars in his 12th house, which basically means he wars on everybody and everything that gets in his way. And Giuliani has Mars in his 11th house. No, in his 11th house, which is sort of a war on the institutions. I mean, it's just so interesting how many of the people close to Donald Trump have some of the very same tendencies showing up in their chart astrologically, this notion of aggression, the Mars, the very quick-wittedness and the very quick response to things, sometimes without thinking it through, obviously, through their Uranus. What else would you like to tell us about Giuliani and his relationship to Donald Trump, or should we move on?
Well, just one item. We know he's going through a very ugly divorce. And December 1st, next month, he's got a major relocation coming up, a home change, and there's going to be a financial loss as well. So that pretty much ties in with this nasty divorce that he's going through. But I'm wondering if he also isn't going to leave New York and relocate himself to a safer place.
Mm-hmm. It's so amazing. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, if you've never looked into astrology, or maybe some of you don't even believe it is a true sacred art, which I do, or think that it has value, which I know it does from my own life experience. When you look at the charts of these people and you look at the houses that their planets are in, it tells you the area of their life that these energies will affect the most. And a progress chart shows you the way in which they move through the houses of the chart at various times in life. And so you can then see what's called the progression of these planets and how they affect people as they move through things. Why don't we jump to a Mike Pompeo, or if you want to do William Barr, who would you like to?
Let's take a look at Michael Pompeo. He's an interesting character. And I was surprised to find his birth chart as well quite easily. He's got a Cancer moon. He's sort of a full moon. He's the sun in Capricorn, the moon in Cancer, and that also makes him sort of a prickly type of personality. But here we're dealing with the Cancer-Capricorn axis, which does present some empathy on his part and his desire to serve others. But, you know, with the Taurus rising, he does have a lot of self-interest here. And that is going to predominate. I am quite concerned, though, that with Mars in his ninth house of legal affairs. In Capricorn, which is an exaltation, that he's a smooth operator. He's going to know how to get around things to protect himself and to be at the right place at the right time and to skedaddle when it gets a little too hot and sweaty.
Mm-hmm. And as Mars in Libra at this point is a progression rather than it being in Capricorn, is really his battling in the courts of justice.
That's going on, but what bothers me is right now that Mars that he has in Capricorn in the ninth house of law is receiving the very powerful transit of Pluto.
Mm-hmm.
And that is going to present some real problems for him. Mars and Pluto together are at war. And the question is, who is he going to go to war with?
Yeah.
Is it going to be the interest of the people that he does represent, or is it going to be the interest of an individual that he is beholden to?
And it shows so much of the status quo, you know, Mars and Mercury and the South Node all in Capricorn, all in his ninth house, is like sort of, you know, overturning the philosopher, if you will, that is the Senate. I don't mean the Senate per se, but the senatorial value of the judge, so to speak.
Yes, and let's hope that he doesn't try to take the role of the judge and make things happen on his own, because that could be an act of desperation that Pluto impels very often when people are facing the wall.
Mm-hmm. How about if we move to William Barr and skip Rick Perry for the moment?
Okay. Well, wait a minute.
Okay.
Let's not skip Rick Perry. Let's go to Rick Perry, because I kind of feel sorry for him.
All right.
He's a Pisces son, and the sun is at the midheaven, which is a real desire to succeed in life. And he's also a full moon. His moon is in Virgo. And, you know, he's someone who's very concerned with the opinions of others and where he stands socially. He also has Taurus rising, which gives him a lot of self-interest. And perhaps his weak point is material things, material security. That's what he's most concerned with. But he is a very sensitive individual, and I would say Moon conjunct Saturn, very easily dominated. And here's someone who could be blackmailed.
Mm-hmm. All right. So
I think that's what's happening right now.
That's interesting. All based on what you see. So what about William Barr while we still have the
William
time?
William Barr is a Gemini sun, and he's got a Leo moon with Pluto. I mean, we're,
another actor.
You know, here, Giuliani, William Barr, and Trump have, you know, the three amigos.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah, they really are astrologically.
William Barr is going to face some problems here. This week, there is a Mars transit that is kicking off placements in his horoscope that could really create some problems. His transit of Mars is affecting Venus in his horoscope, which falls in the house of institutions. And it's also being affected by the transit of Pluto, which is the judiciary. So he's going to be called on the carpet, probably by Congress, and there's going to be a lot to answer for, but this isn't just one event. This is the inception of a very long-term examination of his role in the current situation, as well as his job.
Well, and another sun in Gemini, as you pointed out, Giuliani, Trump, and William Barr are all Geminis.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
There's the duplicity there that they all sort of share, if that's the road that they're going to take. What bothers me about William Barr is he has the moon in a conjunction with Pluto. So here's someone who can harbor a lot of resentment and want to get even with people who have crossed him.
And it's in Leo. So we're also then back to Trump's Leo and Giuliani's Leo. I mean, they're all like stage performers on top of being, you know, quick to use the intellect, but also quick to blame others.
That's a very good assessment of those three, what they share in common and what action they'll take when they've made mistakes that they can't own up to, and when they've been compromised by higher powers.
It's fascinating. So in general, I know people always want to hear predictions. So 2 years ago, we talked about Trump's chart and the United States chart. You talked about the Mars and the Gemini ascendant and all the things that we saw coming up. And you predicted that he would be impeached. So now that we have the impeachment rules in place and it's going to go forward and things are going to go public, what are some of the things that you see relative to the impeachment process and it being open to public viewing?
Yes, and I'm looking at Donald Trump's chart, and I want to emphasize that last week was a very dangerous week for him, because on the 29th, he had a Jupiter opposition to his sun, which meant a confrontation with the law and the powers that be that is going to continue for the next month. In addition to that, he had a Mars transit. He's very susceptible to Mars influences because he thinks of himself as an actor of all aggression and stronger and bigger than everyone else. Well, this time around, Mars transited his Jupiter. And so he's getting this mutual interaction of Mars and Jupiter that represents the letter of the law coming down on him and opposing him that he has to face. Now, next year, in 2020, there's two factors that we can project to be the most difficult time that he's going to face in his life for this impeachment process. We can figure it's going to truly affect him in a very profound way. Two transits are affecting him. He has a Saturn opposition to Saturn. That's a half cycle that tells us that he's going to have to face the music, whatever he's laid down as the law, as his mandates, as his initiatives are going to come around and bite him back, so to speak. He also has a Pluto aspect that is opposing his Saturn in the spring of next year. It's going to be in February and in July. And I'm going to stick my neck out and say this. I truly believe the Republican Party is not going to have him as their candidate for the 2020 election.
Do you have any? Well, we'll talk about that on our next show. We'll take a look at some of the other candidates. If it's not Mike Pence, who it might be, because there are some other governors running or at least hoping to, you know, be considered. So we'll look at that. And we see it around the world. I mean, these influences that we're talking about with the outer planets of Pluto and Uranus and Saturn, I mean, we see with protests and governments coming down all over the world relative to their abuse of power. At the same time, you know, this sort of polarization between those who want to liberalize and socialize, for lack of a better word, and those who are really more prone towards oligarchical fascism, if you would, which our own president is. You know, I just find it extraordinary from my vantage point that we have an executive dictatorship. There are some peculiar laws relative to being in a declared national emergency, which we perpetually seem to have about one thing or another, giving a president allowance to use executive orders even outside the thing they've declared the national emergency for. But all of the rollbacks he's done with the EPA and protections to wildlife and nature, it just doesn't make any sense to me because we're meant to be represented by Congress. So where's the congressional vote on all of these executive orders? So it's the despotism that really bothers me and this rule of executive dictatorship. We'll be right back. Our guest is Rosemary Clark. You can learn more at her website, www.templeharakhte.org. Coming up next, the candidates in the front line of the Democratic Party.
Connected with Stimulating talk and breaking news on Talk Radio 680 WCBM, Baltimore.